Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
To do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news. Two big stories around transfers that could get done in the March international break. We'll talk about that. A huge reason why Michael Carrick being linked with the Man United job is a huge positive that nobody's talking about. We'll talk about that as well. Also, Bruno wants Casemiro to stay. We've got a few other bits to get into this morning. I'm sure we've got your comments as well. So quite a lot to get into. Also, it's Baller League Day. On a personal note, it's a big day. Gold Devils, 6:20 today on Sky Sports, on YouTube, our live stream. I've dropped the link in the chat. Baptism of fire into the fire for the Gold Devils. Looking forward to that. But before we get into anything this morning, I just want to give a bit of a lesson because sometimes, very rarely, I can jump on a bandwagon and know that I am right. And I am right on this. And I'm a little bit tired of the disrespect being shown around this point, because it was a point I made with you in January about this, and I think it just needs to be said. Bruno Fernandes is Player of the Year in the Premier League this year, and if he doesn't get it, it is an absolute travesty, an absolute joke. He is comfortably Player of the Year. Just because Declan Rice and Gabriel are playing in a side that's going to win the league doesn't make them Player of the Year. Manchester United haven't been that good this season without Bruno. I don't think we're that good without Bruno. He has single-handedly, in my opinion, taken Manchester United into the Champions League. I would happily give him 400 grand a week. I would happily give him 100 grand a week pay rise, because I believe he is the player that will keep us in the Champions League next year and get us in the Champions League this year. But if some people are still struggling to get their head around this, understand this. Bruno Fernandes has 16 assists in the Premier League this season. In second place is Cherki with 8. 8. The second place assister in the Premier League this season after 30 games has half the assists that Bruno Fernandes has. Now, you can scrutinise the league and say, creatively, the league's been crap this season. And it has. Long throw balls, direct free, set pieces, whatever. But Bruno Fernandes is 4 assists away from the all-time Premier League assist record. So whilst everybody else may be playing crap football, Bruno Fernandes is in a world of his own, and that should be championed. In the worst ever Premier League season I've ever seen, in relation to boring, fouling, slow flow, whatever, Bruno Fernandes should be championed over Declan Rice and Gabriel. I think Rice and Gabriel have done well, but we've had a horrific football season with boring football, loads of nil-nils, loads of set pieces, loads of long kicks from the kickoff, loads of long throw-ins, loads of stop-start football, PGMOL rubbish again. Bruno Fernandes stands as a light in a dark season for the Premier League, and that should be championed. If we want our football to be exciting and creative, then Bruno Fernandes should be championed as the standalone player in the Premier League this season who is actually that. 16 assists in the Premier League, double what the second place has. But not only that, he's created 98 chances this season. 98. The second place person is Cherki with 42. Not even half. Not even half. Harry Wilson's in third place with 30 chances. Bruno's created 98. It's incredible. And on top of that, let me just say, he's also scored 7 goals this season. That puts him into 23rd place. Well, no, it doesn't put him in 23rd, does it? I don't know. But look, he scored 7 goals as well. So this is not up for debate. This is not a nice to have. This is a fact. Bruno Fernandes is Player of the Year this year. And if any player votes for Rice or Gabriel or Haaland instead of him, they don't know ball. And if any journalist votes for anybody else other than Bruno Fernandes, they don't know ball. Respect to Arsenal for winning the league. They will win the league. But they've got an amazing squad. Bruno Fernandes has done it in a United side that's not even that good, if we're being honest. It's a work in progress at best. Right, let's get into the show. So, a couple of stories to get into. I want to talk about the Carrick thing. Obviously, Roy Keane's had his say about Michael Carrick again, which is obviously going to probably lead to a load of clips and memes and bloody social media interactions from the top Reds going, it's disgusting, ex-players having an opinion, whilst also giving their opinion. But look, I want to start off with something that nobody else is going to be talking about this morning. I didn't expect to be talking about this morning, but good news around a transfer in the March international break. So remember I said to you about 3 weeks ago that the transfer that United are working on the most at the moment is Diamande at Leipzig? Well, much like Memphis Depay a few years ago, this is a deal that United believe they can get done very, very quickly. Lots of work have gone into it. And with the March international break coming up, and remember, United don't play a game for 3 weeks. The noise coming out of United is they really want to utilise that time to close down in on the manager and also get a couple of transfers done. Now, we were speaking about this last week about how some players will want their future sorted out before the World Cup. Some clubs are going to push for it afterwards, hoping they have a good World Cup and then they can have a little bit of a, a little bit of a, you know, bidding war. However, there are issues with that. What if the player gets injured in the World Cup? What if the player plays badly in the World Cup? And also, what if the player goes really deep in the World Cup and then wants a holiday? You might not be able to start that bidding war until August, and that might put some clubs off who want to get their business done early. So there will be a balance in this transfer window where some deals can be done pre-World Cup. And if you're going to get those deals done pre-World Cup, you need to be working hard now and in the March international break, which is what Man United are doing with Diamande. Wilcox's star is very high in the sky in Man United's recruitment department after his success rate with Sesko and a couple of other players. And Diamande is a player that's being pushed. The other boost with this is that Bayern Munich are not going to go for Diamande, which is always a threat with any Bundesliga side that has a good player, because Bayern Munich notoriously will take the best. And on top of that, Liverpool are looking less and less likely to go for Diamande as well. The belief being that they have got a lot of players that they need an outright left-footed winger. Now, Diamande can play off the right and he can be both-footed, but I think primarily he's probably going to be better off the left, which is why it suits United more. So it's looking good on Diamande. I wouldn't say deal done or anything like that, but I'd certainly say that United are putting a lot of work into that. That's encouraging. I'm not going to be negative about that. What we have to have a big summer transfer window, and to do that, you've got to be talking to players now. And that summer is going to fly by really, really quick. The World Cup, blink and you'll miss it, and then we'll be back playing football again in August. So United have got to utilise this March international break, and the plan is to do that. A second player that they're looking at is Adam Wharton. This has been mentioned again. I think it was, I can't remember where I read this morning, but Wharton is subject to interest from a couple of other Premier League clubs. Man United are very interested as well. And the feeling is that United do want to be part of those conversations if those conversations are going to take place early. Remember, Wharton will be on the move in the summer. There will be interest. And you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want in football. Sometimes, like with Semenyo in January, United made the move because they wanted the player in the summer, really, but Man City went for him in January. So you can't always get what you want. There is a feeling that there is a couple of Premier League clubs that are making an early move on Wharton, and United want to be part of those conversations. Now, how that works, I don't know. And this is why you need really good negotiators and really good leadership within the football club, because it's not just going to go like this. We want Elliot Anderson. He's gone to Man City. We go for Tonali. He's gone to Real Madrid. We'll go for Wharton. He'll come to United. Whilst you're waiting on Anderson and Tonali, Wharton might solve his future. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying you might not be able to move down the list like we did with the striker last year. We went from Delap to Gyökeres, to Ekotike, to Watkins, to Sesko. It worked. I don't think it's going to work like that this summer, because there's a lot of clubs who want midfielders and they're looking at different midfielders. So you know, you're not necessarily going to go, we didn't get Anderson, we didn't get Tonali, we didn't get Stiller, let's go for Wharton. It could be that Wharton comes up first before Anderson's made his mind up. Now, do you back out of Wharton because you're going to go for Anderson and then you don't get Anderson? So the feeling is that Wharton may be one of those players that sorts his future out before the World Cup. He might not even go to the World Cup. So Anderson, Forest are very adamant that they want to wait until after the World Cup to get that deal done. Man City want to get it done before. So it's going to get convoluted. It's going to get complicated. And United need to be very, very, very convinced about what they're doing in this situation, because we don't want to see people dropping off to other clubs and then not get what we want. I mean, it would be horrific if we don't get Tonali, Anderson, Wharton, Stiller, and we end up stuck with, what, Baleba, Joao Gomez, you know. So keep an eye on that. And I see this as a positive. I think that what I always and always have said... Ooh, coffee. I have always said that Arkan says just get Locatelli. Interestingly, there is a story coming out from a midfielder in Italy. I'll talk about that in a moment. Nutmeg says Carrick should stay. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I think that with regards to this, I've always said the March international break is huge in the summer transfer window. I mean, how many years have we been doing this? I've always said it. It is. It's the head start when transfer window, basically. It's well known in the agency and in the football industry that the March international break is your head start, your cheat code. If you wait until the end of May, because you can't tend to do a lot of business in May. Liam Delap you can do because he's been relegated with Ipswich and he's going on a tour. Remember Liam Delap when the Premier League season was going on last year? He was going up to Everton, he went to Newcastle, he went to Man United. He did a bit of a tour, didn't he? Because he knew he was getting relegated with Ipswich. So there will be one or two players like that who have got nothing to play for in May. But the problem with May is you've got a lot of clubs with players that are playing for relegation, Champions League, titles, and you've got a lot of clubs who want to do business who are thinking about stuff like that. So if you're Arsenal, Man City, you're thinking about that. If you're Forest, Elliot Anderson, you're thinking about relegation. So May can be a write-off and players will say, speak to me in June. But some players will speak to you in March. Some players who are going to be busy in May will speak to you in March. So Elliot Anderson, you could probably have a chat with him in March. You might struggle with that in May. So it will be very interesting what comes out. And I think, look, I saw this story this morning. I think it was in the Daily Mail. And I was like, I mean, what is it really? It's just, you may as well have wrote this on January the 1st. I mean, I'll read it to you here. So Manchester United's priority this summer is clear. Reinforce centre midfield after committing the bulk of last year's budget to rebuilding the attack. These are the names being discussed internally. Elliot Anderson, Carlos Baleba, Tyler Adams, Adam Wharton, Joao Gomez, Sandro Tonali and Felix Enmecha. That's written today in the Daily Mail. On the 16th of March. That could have been written on the 1st of September. It adds nothing to the story. It's just a collection of names we've all been discussing for ages, and there's seven of them. You could also add in a couple of more names in there as well. Angelo Stiller will definitely be in there. There's a player I'm going to mention from Italy who might be in there. I expect in March, we should be in a position where we start narrowing this down, because at the moment, it's not been narrowed down at all. So, be interesting. Edison, Italy, Italian report this morning, Lincoln is back in with Edison. I don't know. It's interesting. I mention it because last week, what were the three players that ChatGPT said Man United should sign? Edison was one of them. Realistically, we haven't been linked to Edison for a long time. Now, we have a good relationship with Atalanta. He's an interesting profile of player. I think there's something really interesting going on in the Premier League at the moment with Brazilians as well. Me and Robbie were talking about this morning. You got Gabriel at Arsenal, who's arguably been their best player. You got Casemiro at Man United. He's been absolutely fantastic. There's obviously other Brazilians in the Premier League. But, you know, would it be a bad thing to go for Joao Gomez or Edison from Atalanta? I don't know. He's experienced as well, says Savage. I think experience is a big thing for United. I really do. Anyway, right. I want to talk about So, look, where do we start on Carrick? I didn't want to lead on Carrick today. I really didn't, because I think it's a little bit... I think it's becoming a little bit toxic in the fan base. I don't like it when it's like this. I like debate. I like conversation. But there is no definitive answer to this. Some people will go, Carrick's results are brilliant. Give him the job. I agree. The results are brilliant. Some people would say, tactically, we've been really bad the last few games. West Ham, Everton, Palace, Newcastle, even, you know, boring, some might say, in the sense that you look at the winning goal against Villa. I said it in the preview. Villa play a stupid high line and they play out from the back. That second goal, brilliant pass by Bruno, but what are Villa doing playing a high line at Old Trafford again? So, you know, we are very good against teams that play and want to attack us. But we're really bad against teams that don't. And, you know, two different sides of the argument. Roy Keane said this: most players love a caretaker manager. Carrick hasn't had any distractions. When you get appointed manager, you have a lot of different responsibilities. I think Man United needs someone with more experience of winning trophies, competing in Europe, and he hasn't got that. All this chat that everyone loves him, I don't know if everyone was loving him last week when they couldn't beat a Newcastle team with 10 men. The timing was good for Man United. Remember, this is the same team who finished 15th. People get giddy that United are third in the league. I don't. I'm not one of them. I get excited when teams are winning trophies. Look, that's very negative. I love Roy Keane, but I don't love everything he says. That is very negative. There is elements of truth in there, but it's also he doesn't want Michael Carrick. He said a few weeks ago, under no circumstances would he give it to Carrick. So I respect the consistency. You can't moan about it. He said from the start he didn't want Carrick to get it. But I also think that Carrick has won a lot of games. He might work. My concern is that it's a huge risk. There's a huge unknown. I agree that there is too many unknowns here. I don't think the style of football is very good. I think people are ignoring that because of results, which is fine. I also don't think he's been tested. I think he's had it very easy. He hasn't had a transfer window. He hasn't got lots of experience. I don't think his coaching staff is very good. So there's, you know, we're basically giving the job to apprentices if we give them the job. I don't think anyone can argue with that. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about this. I think there is a huge positive that nobody is talking about Michael Carrick being linked to the job. And the positive is this. If they give the job to Carrick and it goes wrong, they're fucked. The board are fucked. So Jim Radcliffe is fucked. If they give it to Carrick, they will be fucked. It won't be Carrick's fault. I take the job. You take the job. If they give Carrick the job, knowing the risks, and it goes wrong, it's on the board, it's not on Carrick. I think people need to really understand that. There are lots of risks to taking Carrick, and there are lots of positives to taking Carrick, but it will be the board that make that decision in full knowledge that this happened with Solskjaer before and that there are better experienced managers out there. So first and foremost, I think that's a positive, because if they give it him and it goes wrong, it basically is the end of Wilcox and everybody like that. It's such a bad decision if they get it wrong.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
If they get it right, they'll be fine, admittedly. But the real positive for me is that I believe we are now in a position where it's... And Gary Neville said this yesterday. Emery might be a good choice for Man United, but you can't give Emery the job anymore because if they don't give it to Carrick and they give it to Emery, a lot of people will say, well, what happened at Arsenal? And it will be like, I don't think there'll be a good feeling about Emery getting the job over Carrick. If they give it to De Zerbi over Carrick, again, I don't think there'll be a good feeling about De Zerbi getting the job, because people will go, well, what did he do at Brighton? What did he do at Marseille? If they give it to Glasner over Carrick, I think there'll be a lot of people going, this doesn't feel right. So the positive for me is that, okay, Michael Carrick might get the job, but if they're not going to give it to Carrick, I think it's very clear that they can't give it to De Zerbi, they can't give it to Glasner, they can't give it to Iriola, and they can't give it to Emery. Which means Carrick's success has basically stopped us from going for a mediocre manager. And I was thinking about this morning, and I've not heard anybody say it yet. Search your heart. Carrick gets his Champions League football. You can't give it De Zerbi. It's not, people won't get their head around that. They'll go, okay, maybe we shouldn't give it to Carrick, but he won a load of games and you're giving it to De Zerbi. You're going from one risk to another risk. You know what I mean? I think now, if Carrick's not going to get the job, they have to go for something big. They have to go best in class, because if you're not going to give it Carrick, you've got to give it somebody that everyone goes, that's big. So I see that as a positive. I don't think we can give this job to De Zerbi anymore. I don't think we can give this job to Glasner anymore, because I think people would go, I'd rather have Carrick. I'd rather take the risk, because Glasner's a massive risk. De Zerbi's a massive risk. Iriola's a big, massive risk. Even Emery's a bit of a risk. I don't think we can take, we can't take Carrick because it's a risk and then go and take someone else who's a risk. I think the only reason not to take Carrick now is to do what they said they were going to do and appoint best in class. Enrique, Nagelsmann, Ancelotti, you know, a top class manager. And I think that's the only thing they can do now. So I see it as a positive. If it's not going to be Carrick, it's got to be somebody best in class, because I don't think we can accept going for De Zerbi or Iriola or Glasner, because they're a huge risk just as much as Carrick. So I see it as a positive now. I mean, the debate's going to go on. But Man United, what we have to remember is this is on the board. The board sacked Mourinho and said they were going to do a best-in-class recruitment of a manager. They never did it. They jumped on the Oli bandwagon. They gave him the job. We lost 3 years. When they sacked Amorim, they said, we're going to do a best-in-class managerial recruitment process. And we're already talking about giving it to Carrick. So this is on the board. Whether you're pro-Carrick, anti-Carrick, pro-Oli, whatever, the board will have lied twice if they give it to Carrick without interviewing other managers. So I see this as a massive positive, because if it goes wrong, we know who's responsible. And if they do what they said they're going to do, they have to recruit best-in-class managers. If they're going to do the managerial recruitment process they said they were, there's no point interviewing De Zerbi. There's no point interviewing Glasner, because the fans won't accept it. It's not a step up. You've got to go for Enrique or Nagelsmann or someone like that. So I see it as a massive positive. If it had all gone wrong with Carrick, I think it opens the door to inferior managers like Glasner and De Zerbi, because Carrick did bad. But because Carrick's done well, I think you can only appoint a top-class manager now. So I see it as a positive. Look, I still don't want to give the job to Carrick. I don't. I think the coaching and the style of play is not good enough, in my opinion. The results are fantastic. The performances aren't. I think they're very, very reliant on Casemiro, Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, individuals in a system that's very basic. I think we struggle against the low block still. And at some point, teams are just going to start playing the low block. So we need to see more. But if we go to Bournemouth, who are very good on Friday, and we play well and we win 4-0, I can flick like a switch. I've always said that. I'm not going to make my mind up until the end of May anyway. But stylistically, at the moment, I don't really rate it. But there's a huge positive with results. And as I said there, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe some journalists will figure it out. They do take time. We are in a huge positive position here, because I just think there are certain managers who don't get this job anymore. And if you're not going to go with Carrick, you've got to go with somebody that takes everybody's breath away, because
I know how the fan base works. You know how the fan base works. If we get Champions League football and then Carrick leaves and they give it to De Zerbi, I think the fan base will be like, what are you doing? Whereas if we get Champions League football and Carrick leaves and we get Enrique, I think everyone would go, thank you, Carrick. Go and get a job elsewhere. Maybe see you in a few years. Let's go to work with Enrique. And I think that's a positive. I think it's a positive. I really do. And if they do give it to Carrick, they lied to us again. They didn't do a managerial process. And if it all goes wrong, it's not Carrick's fault. It's the board. So I think it's a positive. I think it is a positive when you think about it. Let the debate reign. Look, I want to talk, without deflecting the question, which team has a good style of play, says Ashri. In the Premier League this season, that's not an excuse though, mate. Can I just say, you can't just say, I go and shit on the road and so does everybody else. Doesn't make it okay. Like, we are Manchester United and maybe we should be looking at the Premier League and going, everybody plays shit football. Let's be the team that plays good football. What we saw in the Champions League last week with Leverkusen and Atletico Madrid and PSG and Real Madrid is that they wiped their arse with the Premier League's best just by playing football. If I was a Premier League manager or an owner, I'd be looking at the Champions League and I'd be going, this is shit in the Prem. This whole long throwing corner shit is bollocks. We need to play some good football and we'll get ahead of everybody else. Fulham play good football. Man City play good football. Bournemouth play good football. Brighton play good football. They're not fashionable, but they do play good football. They're not hoof it, you know, foul the goalkeeper, set piece FC. So look, I think I want Man United to play good football. Surely I'm not going to get criticised for that. I mean, I know our standards have dropped a lot over the last 13 years, but I think our heritage is to try and play good football, and I'd like to see that. I don't think that's too much to ask. Keel says, agreed, but these are not Carrick's players, says Keel. And that's the risk, Keel. Do you trust Carrick? If these are not Carrick's players and we're saying we won't be like this next season, what are we judging him on then? A leap of faith. If these aren't his players, what are we going to look like next year then? What is the vision? So that's what I mean. It's a risk, isn't it? What's the leap? If they get a top-class manager, they won't be a yes man, says Alan. Look, I said in January, whatever the results, I think they'll give it to Carrick. He's going to be somebody that is going to be very, you know, submissive to the wills of Wilcox, isn't he, and the board. And so will De Zerbi. Short of appointing the likes of Enrique or Nagelsmann, the board is done if it goes wrong, which is why we get stories of through data-driven stuff, recruitment process. Wilcox is on thin ice, says Emily Derry. Yeah, and look, I hope this doesn't happen, but if they give it to Carrick in the summer and we don't have a very good summer transfer window and we end up like Newcastle in next year, I think the shit will hit the fan. And I think it will be the board that get the blame, not Carrick, because they're in control. They're in control. You take a risk on someone, it goes wrong. Who made the decision? Not me. Madrid won't give Arbeloa the job on a permanent. Don't give Carrick the job either, says Robbery. And how many managers can Ineos rebuild with, says Grimm. Patrick Lynch says, what Carrick has done with his results makes me less apprehensive about him potentially getting the job. I agree with Keane, though. We should be looking to get the best manager possible. Yes, and I think I agree with you, Patrick. I'm quite relaxed about it. If they give it to Carrick, I'll back him. But I have massive concerns about it. But it won't be my decision. And ultimately, this decision wouldn't be a decision if Man United recruited best in class. Because best in class won't be Carrick and Steve Holland. It won't. I'm sorry, it's not. So if the club decide to lie and not go for best in class, let's see how it goes. But we should be going for best in class. I don't think that any other club would have given Ollie the job all those years ago. And I'm not sure any other top club would be giving it to Carrick either. But if Man United are operating at that level, then they're lying to us about high standards. So let's see how it works. Maybe it will work. Many rival fans say we play good football, arguably the best in the league. Who is playing better or has more consistency at the moment, says Gaz. Can you tell me these rival fans that say Man United are playing good football? Because I don't know what you're talking about, mate. I think you just come in and made something up. Look, we're having a grown-up conversation about the pros and cons of the next manager. You can't come in and make stuff up. Like, when have Man United played good football in the last five games? When?
We've not been playing well, mate. We've been playing counter-attacking football, and it only works against teams that play a high line, like Aston Villa. This is counter-attacking football. It's not good football. Most teams in the Premier League are playing bad football this season, and, you know, we're one of them. But we're not playing good football, which is why I think Bruno Fernandes should get Player of the Year, because in a league of robotic football, I think he's one of the... I mean, it's incredible. 16 assists, and the second player has 8. The amount of chances he's created, I mean, it's incredible to me. I just think he's absolutely incredible, Bruno. Where we would be without him is, well, I don't know. Off topic, made my 16-hour trip to London and hopefully can see some Goldbridge ball. Would love a photo with you if there is chance. Cheers, says man, Mr. Andrew. Well, if you let me know whereabouts you are going to be sat, I'll make a beeline for there. And we'll try and get a picture, definitely, mate. Thank you very much. Don't forget, we're live on my channel later on. I've dropped the link in the live chat. We'll be live from 5, but our game's at 20 past 6. Andy Atherton, thank you very much for your super chat. Grim L says, Favel has to be the one making the transfers. Rajaf says, I'm still in awe of the insane aura of Bruno's pass to Cunha. Oh, no. The technical ability, the weight of the pass, the vision. Rajaf, there's been 2 assists. There's more. There is more. There's 2 assists this season that I think if you are a fan of Bruno and a fan of creativity, I always think the weight of the pass is the key. Obviously, the direction and that's very important, and the accuracy, but the weight of the pass. Man City, Mbeumo, he can hit it first time. How many strikers, when they get a pass, have to take a touch? A lot. The weight of the pass across Mbeumo to hit it first time. He actually did it again in the game yesterday where Martinez saved it for the corner that Casemiro scored from. The weight of the pass from Bruno again. But the weight of the pass for Cunha, it's perfection. It's absolute perfection. I mean, Villa are stupid for playing the high line, but they always do it. But the weight of the pass is incredible. Why are we not in for Ederson? Apparently he's 26 million, says Maliki. Well, there's Italian reports that we are, but that needs to become better reports than that before we get a little, you know, we start talking about it. Bruno Ballon d'Or, if he breaks assist record and wins the World Cup, says Ivan. I can't imagine Bruno winning the Ballon d'Or. But in those circumstances, I think he'd have to be in the conversation. Emily Derry, I want to talk about something what Carrick said about Casemiro, by the way. I'm going to do that next. Emily Derry says, Sir Jim Radcliffe and Glynios took a huge risk dismissing Amrim on the basis of a very public dispute. They're out on a limb now as they made it clear it was about projects and not about results. So the next manager must be about that. Thank you, Emily. Look, the club might surprise us and go and get something incredible and do something incredible. The Glazers went for Oli. The Glazers, I think, will go for Carrick. So Jim Radcliffe might not be about that world. He might be about, well, Manchester United, I want something that's mine. Look, I don't know. So Jim Radcliffe might go, I don't want to give it to Carrick because I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe and I'm meant to be doing something new and I want my legacy here, my vanity project, to be about me, Sir Jim Radcliffe. I did something different. The Glazers gave it to Oli when he did well as an interim. If I give it to Carrick when he's done well as an interim, what's different? So he might look at it like that. They might look at it and go, we said we were going to do a best-in-class recruitment process. We're going to do a best-in-class recruitment process. I don't know. But personally, I think we will end up giving it to Carrick. But this is what Michael Carrick had to say about Casemiro in the post-match press conference yesterday. So Bruno Fernandes said, what was it Bruno said? Let me just tell you what Bruno said after the game yesterday. Bruno said this. He said, I prefer Casemiro didn't leave Manchester United. So that is interesting. We'll come back to that. But this is what Carrick said. I think this is totally no disrespect to Casemiro. He has been fantastic. He has been a big player for us and he has been important in the dressing room and one that I've spoken to and connected with really well. But I think as a club and as a team, your players come and go. Some may be bigger, some may be more important than others at different times. I don't think it's ever really about replacing them like for like. I think you can go with different directions. You understand what the balance of the squad will need, whether that's on the pitch, off the pitch, leadership, positionally. There's all sorts of different things going into it. So look, I think he's basically saying that obviously Casemiro's going and it's not that big a deal. I think that's Carrick the player. I think that's the experience of Carrick as a player who will have experienced over the years people like Cristiano Ronaldo leaving in 2009 and plenty of other players leaving in his time at United. I think that's a player that understands what United used to be about, where big players would leave and they'd be replaced. I think there might be a bit of naivety there as a manager, because Carrick's experience as a player is not going to be the same as a manager. I think when you're a player at Man United, in an era where we were successful, he's seen players come and go and you just move on. Trouble with United now is if we don't replace those players, we found it very hard to find players that are experienced leaders and perform consistently. And I think that's probably where Bruno's coming from. I'd prefer Casemiro wasn't going, whereas Carrick's going, oh, players come and go, we can replace him in a different way. So it'd be interesting how that works next season, because I do think Casemiro will leave a hole. I'm not saying he's the best midfielder in the world, but our midfield's not very good. And whilst Casemiro does have his flaws, he also has his positives, and leadership in that team is sparse. So I think that will be difficult. Where I do agree with Carrick is that I don't think we need to... There's a lot of people going, where are we going to replace the aerial ability? As I said last night on the player ratings show, we don't need to go down that road. We don't need to find a midfielder that's brilliant in the air. Find somebody who's brilliant in the air in a different position. Because Casemiro's brilliance in the air has got nothing to do with him being a midfielder. You know, he's not scoring headers from the halfway line. He's scoring headers from corners that are set plays. He's defending headers from corners from set plays. That could be a right back. That could be another centre back. That could be a striker. So the aerial ability we will miss, but we don't need to bring a holding midfielder that's good in the air. We can find somebody else that's good in the air to do that job. It's replacing... Look, Casemiro's defensive numbers, successful defensive actions, are bigger than Anderson, Belaiba. Every player we're looking at this season, he has more successful defensive actions. So, yes, he's a bit slow. Yes, he's not the Casemiro who was at Real Madrid, but he still makes a lot of tackles. And look, he does get run past and he doesn't pick up the runners anymore because he's not as quick, but he still makes a lot of tackles and he is experienced. So we do need to replace him. But what I'm saying is, if we went from Casemiro to Tonali, I'd be over the moon. And people will go, well, Tonali's no good in the air, but we just need to find somebody who is then, who plays in a different position. And as people are talking about, you've got people like Sesko, who isn't even starting games at the moment. So when you look at the goal that Casemiro scored yesterday, Sesko wasn't on the pitch, I don't think. So if you get Sesko to do that and you bring Tonali in, that goal can be replicated from somebody that wasn't in the team yesterday. So that's my point, really. Casemiro won't be staying at Man United, though. He won't. Dan says, given we will finish... And look, that Casemiro decision, whether we like it or not, is a club decision. This is not Bruno's decision. It is not your decision. It is not Carrick's decision. It was not Amrim's decision. It won't be the next manager's decision. The club made that choice. When Sir Jim Radcliffe came in, he looked at that wage bill. He didn't like Sancho's wage. He didn't like Casemiro's wage. And he didn't like Rashford's wage. And none of those players are going to be here anymore after this summer. So the club made that decision. And this is where I would say I have a huge issue with the club. They're fixated on wage bill. I saw something this morning from Kieran Maguire about we've reduced the director salaries. And some people were grabbing the tissues again and knocking one out. And I'm like, you're completely missing the point here. Paying directors less money might save us a little bit of money. Reducing our wage bill might save us a little bit of money. But we're paying £30 million a year where we're basically throwing it into the sea. It's interest on debt that doesn't come down. So I don't get excited about reducing wage bills. If I've got a player that delivers something that I'm going to miss massively next year, pay them the money because they're worth it.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Pay them the money. You know, if your car breaks down and, you know, there's a guy around the corner who has 10 minutes to come and fix your car and will get it done, but it's going to cost you 100 quid, or you go, well, there's someone I've never used before. He's got a few bad reviews and he'll be here in half an hour and he's going to cost me 60 quid. Some people will go for the cheap option. I'd go for the guy who's going to get me back on track quick, who knows what he's doing. And that's the difference, isn't it? I think you pay for what you get for. You pay what you get, in football. And but Casemiro is a financial decision that the club made along. And also, you know what? It's worth bringing this in. When it comes to Casemiro, people are losing their shit a little bit that we're going to let him go in the summer. You do know we've tried to sell him for the last two summers. We tried to sell him last summer and we tried to sell him the summer before that. They've been trying to get rid of Casemiro for two summers. So we probably should take the positive that we've actually still got him running his contract down. Because I think Casemiro made a conscious decision that he was happy in Manchester and he was going to run his contract down and then be free to go where he wanted to go. The club have tried to sell him for the last two windows to Saudi. So don't forget that. Like, they've been trying to get rid of Casemiro for 2 years because they don't like his wage. So there we go. Brian says, do you think Anderson picks us if we get Champions League football? Look, I think there is a lot to like about Man United to an external player. The club is huge. The atmosphere is still fantastic at Old Trafford, even though they want to knock it down. You can see the Man United pull. And the Man United pull won't be the manager. It won't be Wilcox. It won't be Sir Jim Radcliffe. It'll be the fans. It'll be the ground. So there is always that chance that Elliot Anderson will look at Man United and go, I fancy that. On the other hand, Man City, the players they've got, they're going to be, Man City are going to be a good team next year. Pep Guardiola said it, like, next season they're going to be better. Cherki, Donnarumma, Semenyu, Haaland, Gehi, Rodri will still be there. They've got really good players and they'll be a good team next year. And he might look at that and go, it's more of a dead cert for my career. Whereas Man United, we could be Newcastle next year. Loads of people have said this. We could be Newcastle next year. We could fall into the trap of Champions League qualification, meaning we're back, not do the things we need to do in the summer, leave ourselves massively exposed next year, struggle with two games a week and find ourselves mid-table in the Premier League and out of the Champions League this time next year. And then you're like, what happens next season? Are we in Europe at all? So United, nobody at this point can say what's going to happen. In a year's time, we could be in the top four, qualifying the Champions League again, which I'd take straight away. We could be seventh or eighth, not going to be in the Champions League like Newcastle. Or we could be closer to Arsenal and Man City. And nobody knows. Whereas I think Man City or Bayern Munich or Arsenal, you probably know what's going to happen for the next few years. You're going to be in the Champions League every year and you're going to be competing for the title. And that's the thing with United. I think the pull's always there, Brian, but it's the uncertainty at United. And that's why you need a vision and performance to go with results. What if we give Bruno 400k a week, but then he has a drop-off like Salah has had this season? I might be in the minority, but I'm leaning towards selling and rebuilding the midfield. Oh, God. Well, I tell you what, Jid, if we're selling Bruno and rebuilding the midfield, it can't be Carrick. It can't be Carrick and Steve Holland rebuilding Man United. Like, based on what? Like, what pedigree have they got to do that? I think if Carrick stays, Bruno's got to stay. Because that's going to be a tough season next season. And at least you're guaranteed the numbers that Bruno will put in. I mean, what were we talking about there? 100 chances created in the Premier League. No one's even created 50. You can't replace that. I don't even know how you replace that. No, I just can't even think about it. Dan says, given we will finish in a European place, will we start confirming manager and player targets and start negotiations now as we have an idea of budget? I think we will, Dan. I think that's why the Diamande stuff's coming out. I think there will be players that want to talk in the March international break. And I spoke to somebody a few days ago and I said to them, surely the manager situation has got to change in the sense that we can't just wait till June the 1st to give it to Carrick or interview other people. We've got to start interviewing people before then. And they agreed. They said, look, you interviewed Poch and Ten Hag in the March international break, and Ten Hag didn't get the job until the back end of April. So they've got to start interviewing people. And it's not even a negative for the club to do that. If you think about it, right? If we found out that Man United were interviewing Nagelsmann, Enrique, De Zerbi, Carrick and Glasner in the March international break, would it be a problem? No. It would actually be a huge positive. It would show the club are actually interviewing people. It would generate a lot of conversation in the fan base about what's right and what's wrong. Be able to predict projects, styles of play. I saw something today, and look, they're very good. I do mention them a lot, Swedish Rumble, but this was really interesting what they said, if I can find it. They basically were saying, oh, I can't find it now. Oh, here it is. No, that's not it. Here it is. They were basically saying there's no law that requires that Man United need to bring a manager in for the next 4 or 5 years. You could just give it to Carrick for another year. And, you know, if the manager market doesn't work for you now, you could just give it to Carrick for another year. I disagree with that, by the way. I don't think we can be a football club that just elongates an interim. But what he was also saying is that there are options around managers like, you know, almost the guy before the guy, like Maresca would be an interesting coach to come in and actually provide some stability and tactical discipline into the football club that you can work with. So there are options for Manchester United. And I think that best in class means something different to all of us. But I think in March, they should be interviewing managers. Like they should. They could interview Carrick properly. I don't think Carrick should get the job without an interview. We gave Solskjaer the job without an interview. We should have interviewed Solskjaer and said, what are your projections? What players do you want? How are you going to get us playing? Where are we going to be in 2 years? All these things are part of a managerial interview process. We should start interviewing managers in March because the feedback will be really useful to the football club. They might interview somebody and the fans might hear about it, and which we will, and go, ah, I like that. Or we might interview someone they think's really good and the feedback might be, no, we don't like that. So, and also, as I said a few weeks ago, if we interview 6 managers, we can only give the job to one. But in those interviews, when you're taking your notes, the manager you don't give the job to, one of them might say something really interesting. They might say, my plan is to do this. I don't think anybody's doing this. I would do this. And you go, not quite right for the job, but I do like what they've said there. So I don't know whether it's going to happen, but I think we should start interviewing managers in the March international break. There's nothing wrong with doing that. We're looking for a manager. Doesn't mean we can't give it to Carrick, but we should start interviewing people because we could learn a lot from that. And also, I think it would help the fan base as well to know that the club are actually doing something and not just settling for what's in front of them. And, you know, if through that process they give it to Carrick, at least we know they interviewed brum, 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 and they still gave it to him. You know, I think that'll give Carrick more integrity as well. If he comes through a managerial interview process, it gives him more credibility as well. And I think they have to do that for Carrick. If Carrick's going to get the job, I know Rooney and everyone's saying just give it him, but I'd be surprised if people like Rooney didn't agree with this. Carrick will be likened to Ollie no matter what. Ollie never went through a process for that job. If they put Carrick through the process and they openly interview other people and they give Carrick the job, they will give him far more credibility and integrity as a manager for the future. They'll give him far more security because there'll be far more respect for him if he's come through a process against other managers. So I think they need to get on with that. Because a lot of Man United's about PR. And we should be showing that we are professional and that we are going through a proper process. Look, I've worked in jobs before where they have to advertise a job, and you'll get people going for that job and you have to interview them. And then the job ends up going to an internal candidate you always knew was going to get it. So I think United should do that, definitely. Casemiro, 7 goals this season. Anderson, 2. Tonali, 0. This is class of 99. But yeah, I think intelligent people have already figured out that we don't need to replace Casemiro's goals in the midfield because they're coming from headers, and there is no midfielder out there that is good in the air other than Casemiro. So you cover the aerial ability off other positions and you bring somebody in who's a midfielder who's better than Casemiro because he's a midfielder at the end of the day. I think people are getting hung up on the aerial ability. We don't need to replace it from the midfield. In my opinion, we don't. Thank you very much for your super chat, though. Right, let's have a look. Pengas says, I actually don't think it's wise to measure results in a decision about Carrick. There's two versions of him. Caretaker solely focused on results. Permanent vision who brings in new style, different measure of success. I think that's a very intelligent point. I do. I think it's a very intelligent point. I think as an interim coach, you abandon everything and focus in on results, which is what we're doing. And that can be an excuse for, you know, the football not being great. But you don't get a glimpse on what the future vision is, I suppose, do you? And I think that's a fair point. Emily, we've done yours as well. Just catching up here. This summer is key, says the Duke Studio. Hope you're doing well this morning. Mark, truth is wage matters. Bruno's replacement needs to be bought before he leaves, as I think for Vuskovic and Harry. Duke Studio. I mean, I don't even know who you would replace Bruno with. Yeah, I don't. The Nooch, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for getting involved. Just on what Jid said about Bruno becoming Salah next season. Salah is a winger based on agility and pace who has lost his ability at agility and pace. Bruno Fernandes is not about agility and pace. Bruno is about passing. Paul Scholes could still hit a tin can from 400 metres away. Like, Bruno won't lose his passing ability. Salah's fall off is physical. Even if Bruno lost a little bit of pace, he'd still be a brilliant player. So I don't see that happening. I think Bruno Fernandes could go and play for Real Madrid for 5 years until he's 36 and be brilliant. So I don't see a Bruno drop off anytime soon. And he's not injury prone. The Bruno replacement, I just don't know, Duke Studio. It would take up a massive amount of the budget, quite rightly. If Bruno Fernandes left Man United and we had a budget of 300 million, I would be saying as a manager, well, you've got to spend 100 to 150 million on that, on Bruno replacement. We're losing too many goals and too many assists from him. So you've got to go out and buy. But I don't know what you buy. I mean, Morgan Rogers, I like, but as we saw yesterday, he can drift in and out of a game, and he's very much about the dribble. Cole Palmer, I think, is probably the best, but cost a lot of money. We can't replace Bruno. We need to invest in cloning technology, make at least the 30 clones of Bruno cloning. Daniel Thompson says, I hope you're well, Mark. Wishing you all the best for the Baller League tonight. We're all in with you and the team. Let's go Goldbridge Ball and up the Gold Devils. Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it. If you're coming down, it'd be great to see you. Just type in Baller League tickets. I think there's still a few left. If you're watching it on YouTube, the link's in the live chat and it's on Sky as well. What do you think the reaction would be if they interview Nagelsmann, but they still give the job to Carrick? Does that help or hinder his position? How do you think that looks on the hierarchy? I think, again, this is why this community is the best, because we have these types of conversations. I think they need to start interviewing managers soon. I think they need to make it public. I think they need to make it open and transparent. They need to treat fans with respect and trust fans to come to the right conclusions. When we interviewed Podge and Ten Hag, it was in the March international break and it was public. And a lot of the media wanted Podge and a lot of the fans wanted Ten Hag, but we had no influence and the club chose Ten Hag because he did a better interview. The club need to be transparent in their interview process. They need to interview the best managers they can. And if they only interview De Zerbi, Carrick and Glasner, then that's a poor reflection on the board that they can only get that level of quality to compete with Carrick. If they do interview Nagelsmann and a couple of other top managers and they give it to Carrick, then I think it gives Carrick credibility. I think it gives Carrick integrity. I think he needs that. He needs to be given the job in the full knowledge that other people were interviewed and they chose him. If it goes wrong, and we know that we interviewed Nagelsmann, I think the shit will hit the fan. But that's on the board. That's not on Carrick. They can't just give him the job because he's won a few games and not interview anybody else. That puts pressure on him more, I think, Patrick. I think if he gets the job in an interviewed process, I think it gives him more credibility. And it would be cowardly from the club if they don't do that. We can't replace Bruno. I've done that one from Jared, and done that from Duke Studio as well. Look, with Bruno, I would love to say he's staying at the football club. I feel like I could sit here and say Bruno's staying, and then tonight I could sit here and say Bruno's going. I think it's the best clarification on Bruno is probably 50-50. But as we've spoken about before, I just hope Bruno has the mentality of you and I, where he's going, if you don't give me a top-class manager with top-class players, I'm going. If you give me a top-class manager and top players, I will stay. This is my last contract. It's my last opportunity to be relevant in Premier League title races or Champions League races. And I cannot be here in 2 years' time frustrated at another project fucked up by crap owners. So I'm hoping Bruno's going to wait till after the World Cup, survey the scene and go, I like that or I'm off. And I think that helps us as a club. But he might not do that. Bruno might just be, we're in the Champions League, I'll stay. I like it in Manchester. He might not do that. He might be, I don't care what your project is, I'm going to Saudi. I'm going to earn ridiculous money. But I'm hoping he's going to go, I'm not going to sign anything until after the World Cup, and I want to know what you've done in that time. And if you get good players in and a good manager in, I'm staying. And if you don't, I'm going. I'd love that. I really would. David says, Bruno's really gone through a lot at United. Yeah. Yeah, he has. And you think about what he... I mean, look, Bruno Fernandes at Arsenal, be brilliant. Bruno Fernandes at Liverpool, he'd be brilliant. Bruno Fernandes at Man City, he'd be brilliant. Maybe Pep wouldn't like Bruno, I don't know. But I'm just saying, if he was at those clubs, he would be winning lots and lots of things. He's probably given up personal accolades by putting the club first. And I think he's got the right to do that. Gayuth Comedo says, I feel like Goldbridge wants Bruno out. I think he might be new around here because I absolutely do not. I think he's irreplaceable and we can't let him go. Alonso at Man United. No, won't happen. Place three at the back, ex-Liverpool. No, not going to happen. Right, thanks everybody for watching. Great show this morning. Really appreciate you. Oh, God, I need to wake up. I've got to go and fucking manage a game later. I hope to see you later. I will be streaming on my channel from 5 p.m. with the build-up to our match on Baller League. I'll be with Loz McKenna doing that. You can watch it later with us. We've got a 2 o'clock show. Terry's on the show at 8 o'clock tonight, reacting to the Gold Devils. No, Carrick, it'll be talking about giving the job to Carrick. So, you know, it'll be a good show. And who knows what else might come out today. Let's go Gold Devils, says Plant Spaceman. Yeah, hopefully. It's a tough game. We're playing probably the favourites. Mika and Daniel Sturridge pay their players in watches and cars and stuff. There's all sorts of dodgy stuff going on. But we're waiting on the FFP. That's not going to save us tonight. We'll see how it goes. Thanks everyone for watching. Stay safe. And I will speak to you in a bit. Take care. Great show this morning. Really enjoyed it. Have a great start to your week as well. Speak to you in a bit.
Moto Casino, America. Vegas Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.